Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
Genesis chapter 30. We'll be looking at a large section this evening from verse 25 in chapter 30 to all the way to verse 16 in chapter 31. As we will see as we look, I think these are meant to be read together. Before we read God's Word, let's go to Him in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise to You that Your Word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray that You would illuminate our hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit, that we would know Your Word to be true, that it would do the effectual work in our lives, that our hearts would be drawn to our sin, to see of Your faithfulness in the midst of our unfaithfulness, to be able to see Your goodness in the midst of circumstances that are not good. Lord, we pray that we would see all these things, turning our praise and honor and glory to You. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Hear now the word Lord from Genesis chapter 30, beginning in verse 25. This is God's holy and inerrant word. Please take heed how you hear. As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children from whom I have served you, that I may go. For you know the service I have given you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages, and I will give it." Jacob said to him, "You yourself know how I have served you, how your livestock had fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" He said, "What shall I give you?" Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything if you will do this for me. I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep, and every black lamb, and every spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages." So my honesty will answer for me later, when you come to look at my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen. Laban said, "Good, let it be as you have said." But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. When Laban took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposed the white of the sticks, and he set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks towards the striped, and all the black of the flock of Laban. And he put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were beating, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock, and they might breed among the sticks. But the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them near. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly, and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, "Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has gained all this wealth." When Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before, then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you." So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field where his flock was. And he said to them, I see that your father does not regard me with a favor as he did before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength. Yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not permit him to harm me. If he said, the spotted shall be your wages, then all the flock bore spotted. And if he said, the striped shall be your wages, then all the flock bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. In the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see. All the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance left to us in our father's house? Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? For he has sold us, and he has indeed devoured our money. All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. There's much to be said about going to a particular place that you might be able to say that it changed me. When I went there, I'm not the person once I had left. It changed me for the better, for the worse. Maybe it's a small trip, a trip to the doctor, where the doctor tells you if you continue down this path, you may not have long to live. You need to change. Or maybe a bigger moment, the young boys sent off to war. And the ones who do return, they do not come back as the young boys, but they come back as men. Men who have seen horrific things, seen great things. I've heard this of going to a place like the Holocaust Museum. As you enter through those doors, you do not leave the exit the same way, facing the depravity of what happened, or even something like the Arlington National Cemetery. Going to a place where you see so much has been lost, and you think and reconsider your life. Same true of those who go off to college. They leave college a different person than where they came. Or even an overseas mission trip, going and seeing how others live, how it changes your life. And all of these can have a drastic impact on your life. As you go there, you go a certain person and you come. Although you have not really changed, you might have changed physically in some aspect. But realistically, the change is something within. The change is something that has a drastic shape of your life. And in this passage, we see this drastic change of what has happened to Jacob in this time. That his time as he left Canaan to come to Padan Aram has a monumental impact on his life. The Jacob who left, the Jacob who met God at Bethel, it's not the Jacob who returns. There is a drastic change in his life. First thing that we see in this passage is Jacob's call to go home in verses 25 and 26 and then in verse 3 of chapter 31. Jacob had left the promised land with a commandment from his father Isaac to go and find a wife, to go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and to take for your wife one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Now, he'd been sent off and he'd been blessed to be fruitful and to multiply. And in terms of his portfolio, he drastically grew. He was fruitful and multiplied. He left as one man, and over a period of 14 years up to this passage, he has grown drastically. Coming as a single man, now he has two wives, two concubines, 12 children. A ratio of 1 to 17 over the period of 14 years or so. 1,600% increase. But as he's going to Padan Aram, he has this dream where he falls asleep on the pillow. And God promises as many things in this passage. But he tells him one thing that Jacob knows to be true. God tells him here in verse 28, chapter 28 in verse 15, "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." It is here at this moment at Bethel where Jacob fell asleep on a stone. This promise that I will not leave you or forsake you until I have done what I have promised you to do. That God would be with him, that God would be with him to be able to bring him back to this land. Jacob also makes this vow to him that he will be his God if he is faithful to his promise. This conditional attachment to Jacob. Now we're not sure in this passage, it says as soon as Rachel bore Joseph, there's this change where Jacob then seeks to be able to go home. We're not sure if this change is just an internal change. Maybe he thinks of his mother and his father. Maybe seeing little Joseph there reminds him of this call to go home. Maybe back to that night where he fell asleep on this stone. He made this pillar. He heard that promise. But he's moved at some point to be able to go and explain to Laban, his father-in-law, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children of whom I have served you that I may go." Even after this long time, he started his own family, but he longed to be back in Canaan. He longed to be back on the other side of the Jordan. He longed to be in his home. He saw himself still as a tourist, wanting to go back. And we're told later in verse 3 that God tells him to return. Like Abram called to leave Ur to go to Canaan, now Jacob is called to do the same thing. And he goes and asks Laban to give me my wives and my children, whom I have served you, that I may go. Now at this time, his time of service is now complete. He's been here for at least 14 years. But it's during this time that Laban, the deceiving car salesman, who had to be asked about fulfilling his promise to be able to marry Rachel, it's Jacob who goes and then asks to give me my wife. And after 7 years of service, Laban gives Leah. Then another 7 years of service. And yet again, Jacob needs to come and ask Laban to give me what you have promised. But Laban is a person who promises many great things. He agrees to do but he doesn't necessarily carry it out. The deception, but also to be pestered until he gets it. But Jacob is ready to go home. And Laban's response is that he knows that Jacob has been the reason why he has been so fruitful. He learns by divination, we're explained, that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Laban understands that Jacob's presence and Jacob's service has blessed Laban. You remember when Jacob comes to the well to be able to meet, he meets the shepherds. Now it's Laban's servants who are there. And Jacob then gives shepherding advice. The Laban's shepherds are bad shepherds, but yet Jacob is the good shepherd. Jacob is the shepherd that knows how to look after the flock. And Jacob has served Laban faithfully. And Laban knows this. He knows that God has blessed him because of what Jacob has done. Just as Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, saw that the Lord prospered the hand of Isaac. And now Laban sees the same thing. Jacob, the son of Isaac, has been prospered because of the hand of the Lord. Laban then puts forth yet again, name your wages. I'd like to be able to keep you. You're a great asset to me. Now, previously, when Jacob named his wages, Jacob quite clearly said, give me the hand of your daughter, Rachel. And then Laban switched his wages. Am I giving Leah? So in the end, he promised to work 7 years for Rachel. In the end, he worked 14 years for Rachel. But Jacob also has a problem. He wants to go home, but he also has 17 mouths to feed. He says that, how am I going to provide for my household as well? He needs to start thinking about his family, not just Laban's household. Quite simply, Jacob does all the work. Jacob is the one who has been blessed. But it's Laban's house that sees the growth. Laban simply asks, what shall I give you? So Jacob worked 14 years for the hand of Rachel in marriage. Now he explains that his wages would be the flock. Now it's hard to keep track of the striped, spotted, and speckled sheep. And then also the goats, and then somewhere in there you have a black lamb. But he does, I'll do my best to try and explain it. Remove those that are spotted and speckled, those that are sheep and the black lambs. And basically, remove them and they will be my wages. It's rare that you would have striped, spotted, and speckled sheep and goats. They will be your wages. However, Laban, again, name your wages and I'll change your wages. He removes also the striped, spotted male goats and the speckled and spotted female goats, and he gives them to his sons. He separates those, the wages in which they talked about, and Jacob then looked after the rest. Now he still had spotted and speckled sheep and speckled male goats. See his call to go home, and the second thing we see in this passage is Jacob's breeding program in verses 37 to 43. This is probably easier for you to understand than me, as I wouldn't call myself a city slicker, but definitely didn't grow up around sheep, whether they're speckled or spotted or mottled or anything like that. But we look at his breeding program when we look at the sticks. Now this is way over my head when it comes to livestock and breeding animals. But there's a saying that a ram is worth half a flock. That if you have a good ram, then you would have a good flock. And if you have a good ram, then your breeding program and your sheep, your flock would do great. The ram that you use to breed has the genetics and helps the genetics of the whole flock. Then you have a ram's daughter becomes a dam, which is a parent. And they're more likely to have multiple sheep as well, multiple lambs. And this is basically Jacob's breeding program. He would separate those that are stronger from the weaker. Now he did have, Laban didn't take all of his spotted and speckled sheep. He still had spotted and speckled sheep. And he still had speckled male goats. Now we're told over period of time later in chapter 31 that labor, this happened over a period of time of about 6 years. We're also told that the spotted will be your wages, that Laban changes all these. And then what happened is they had spotted lambs and goats, kids. The stripes would be your wages, and the flock bore striped. Now we can look into the detail of almond plain and peeled white streaks of the branches of poplar. But ultimately he gets it from a dream. We're told in verse 10 of chapter 31. In the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and saw a dream, and the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. And then in verse 12, he said, lift up your eyes and see. All the goats that are mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled, for I have seen that Laban is doing to you. The key to all of this is the male goats and the rams. And Jacob understood husbandry. So what about these sticks? Again, this is way out of my pay grade. There's some folk tales that say that there's this maternal impression process. That is, that he acts on common belief that a valid sight during conception of pregnancy will leave a mark on the offspring. But this is just like the mandrakes with Rachel. But it's ultimately God who opens Rachel's womb. It's not about the folk tales. But there has been some research on this. Scientific research that has studied the effects of these plants and animals. Now, they don't make them spotted. But they do have effects to increase the overall strength of the animal. The poplar reproductive rates and conception rates. The tenons in the birth rates and the protein. The almond treats diseases and disorders. The plane trees are anti-inflammatory. And gastrointestinal benefits. But he would cut them up and then put them in the water. And all these things would be able to give nutrients to the sheep. Especially within the hot sun, it would make this tea-like water bringing all these benefits. But ultimately in all of this, we see the credit is given to God in verse 9 of chapter 31. That clearly, in a dream, Jacob explains that God had helped him. It says in verse 9 of chapter 31, thus God has taken away the livestock from your father and given them to me. For as Laban said before, the Lord has blessed me because of you. That Jacob's breeding program ultimately comes to God's hand, blessing the work of Jacob. And then we see Jacob's change of heart in the first 16 verses of chapter 31. Now Jacob, like his mother, he overheard what the sons of Laban were saying. They explained that Jacob has taken away all that our father that was our father's. That was our father's. He has gained all this wealth. Basically, Laban's son are accusing Jacob of robbing them and their inheritance. But they actually are held responsible for the flock in which they oversaw. Just as much as Jacob was a good shepherd, Laban's sons were not terrific shepherds, so their cost, their loss, is put on them. But the reason why Jacob stayed was he found favor in Laban's sight. We explained that in verse 27 of chapter 30. However, now the favor is gone. But ultimately, the Lord speaks to Jacob and tells him to return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. So Jacob then calls a family meeting with Leah and Rachel. During this time, Jacob is able to see many things. To see who Laban really is. He'd lost favor in Laban's eyes, he explains in verse 5. that Laban has cheated him. He's changed his wages 10 times. But he notes, even in the midst of all this change and Laban's deceit, that God was still with him. That God did not let Laban harm Jacob. That God's hand went before him, just as Laban had noted had happened. And Rachel and Leah understand what has happened in this time. They explain what has happened to us. There's nothing left in our father's house. In the story of the prodigal son, it's the prodigal son who wanders off and squanders all the wealth. But here it seems that Laban is the one who is squandering, the one who is wasting. Rachel and Leah are treated like foreigners. Most likely they're treated as servants and not children. That he had sold them, that he devoured their money. We see not only is Laban as someone who doesn't promise well, he's not good with his finances. He's not a good manager of his house. But they say something at the end of verse 16 which says, whatever God has said to you, do. There's a unity here. This division which was once between Rachel and Leah is now united as they both say to Jacob, whatever God has told you to do, do. See, in this time that Laban constantly changes his wages, that the desire of Jacob at the start of verse 26, that he wants to be sent away to his own home and country, is something then God commands him to do in verse 3. But throughout all of this, this promise which God had said right in Bethel, as he slept on that pillow, that I will be with you. Not only I will be with you, but I will be with you until I have done what I have promised I said I would do. I will bring you back home. And this transformation is, as Jacob maybe quite honestly looks back at the past 20 years, as he thinks about going to sleep that night on this pillow with maybe a staff, all that he has, as he thinks back to maybe dressing up in a goat's fur, deceiving his father to be able to seek the blessing. But now the one who was cheated and the one who deceived has now been cheated and deceived. But ultimately through all this, he realizes God's hand at work in his promise to be able to return him back home, to bless him, to make him a great nation. He left as a single man. He comes back somewhat as a mini nation. As we'll be able to see in the coming weeks of what he professes God has done. Chapter 31, verse 42, he says, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had not been on my side, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. The God saw my affliction and the labors of my hand and rebuked you last night. But Jacob said that you see God has blessed me. Laban saw this. He understood this through this divination. But Jacob said, if God had not been on my side, I would have nothing. I would have been sent away empty-handed. But yet Jacob, even in this time of this deception, of service, hard work, seeking to be able to provide for his wives and his family, he notices that God sees his affliction, the labors of his hand. the promise which God said in Bethel that night, that I would not leave you, that I would be with you, that I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to do. Or as Job puts it, the beginning in chapter 1 of Job 21, chapter 1, verse 21. Job explains that naked I come from my mother's womb and naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And here, Jacob sees that the Lord gives. The Lord takes away. He gives to Jacob. He takes away from Laban. As his daughters described in verse 16, all the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children. The God has indeed blessed Jacob during this time. He has learned, I believe, there's this change that happens to Jacob at Padan Aram. The point in which he becomes a believer, I don't know, we know specifically. But yet God is still faithful to him. God gives and God has taken away. In all of this, we cry out and pray, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise to You that every good and perfect gift comes from God our Father who is above, in whom there is no change or variation. Lord, we see Your great and mighty hand at work in the life of Jacob, fulfilling Your promises that You would be with him, that You would carry him through and see him to the end. Lord, we give You thanks and praise that You do just that to us. Lord, as we long to be home, as we long to cross that river to the celestial city, Lord, that You are indeed with us, that You will not forsake us or leave us, that You will complete that work in which You have begun in us, that You are the author and the perfecter of our faith. Lord, we pray all these things and give glory and thanks to You as the one who gives and the one who takes away. And blessed is Your name. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for His glory and His gospel.